You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Josh Nelson, let's keep the music going. I'm kind of digging that music. Josh Nelson joins me from Filmology.com. Giorgio Moroder, no. Who's the music by?
Harold Faltermeyer.
Ah, Harold Faltermeyer. Sorry, I'm thinking American Gigolo. Ah, yes. Great music. Not so sure the films are going to do it for me. Loving the ideas of your sequel suggestions off the back of Raid 2 that we'll find out about in a moment. And I'm liking this text from Andy Doncaster. You'll understand why when I read it out. Four great sequels. Empire Strikes Back, in brackets, or My Husband Would Divorce Me. Toy Story 2 and 3. And Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. I'd love to hear your voices as well. 1300-222-774 is the phone number. Aliens is another.
That's my nomination.
Game over, man. Game over. Tell me about The Raid 2, Josh.
Well, for people who haven't seen The Raid 1, it was just a quick recap. It was an Indonesian action film, came out 2 years ago, was quite successful around the globe, got a lot of publicity by a Welsh director, Gareth Evans, no relation to the former Foreign Affairs Minister, Gareth Evans, wrote, direct, and edited.
He lives there, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He is based there, yeah. And it was a low-budget action film set in, or based upon a SWAT team that go into an abandoned, well, semi-abandoned building, which is run by a warlord, and have to climb each level of the apartment building to reach the top. So that really sort of self-contained and so vibrant, like the kinetic action sequences is what really sort of recommended that film. And it was a really great film. The Raid 2 has four times the budget. It carries on right after the end. So the surviving cop, sorry for those of you who haven't seen the first one, comes out and he's told he has to go undercover because there's still corrupt police officials
deep undercover
to root out, and he has to sort of ingratiate himself with a Jakarta-based crime syndicate who are sort of rivals with a Japanese crime syndicate, and then there's a third crime syndicate on the rise.
Oh, bad guys everywhere.
So you have a sprawling narrative. So this is the opposite. This is the complete kind of, this is if everything in the first one was small scale and contained, this is about as grandiose and epic as it gets. And it's 2.5 hours, and the first one was, I think, 90 minutes. So
okay. Does it work?
Look, it's probably the most violent film I've seen in some time. It's rated R for ridiculous violence. I don't think I've ever seen so many heads, and I've just walked out of it, seen so many heads pulverized through walls. It's bones coming out of, you know, various
bits of limbs.
Yeah. Look, the choreography, this guy has a real knack for the type of martial arts choreography which doesn't fake it. I mean, there's that term in filmmaking where they talk about you can cut around actors who can't pull off various stunts.
These are quite static shots, aren't you? I mean, you see all the fight scenes.
Long takes. So the lead actor, Iko Uwais, is really remarkable. He reminds me a lot of, I think I may have said this for the first film, the Thai actor, martial artist, Tony Yeo. And you know, he has a kind of a nice charisma, like that sort of fresh face, but so fast. And you get the sense that with most of the scenes, they didn't really have to do much speeding up as well. It's that Bruce Lee sort of technique where it's just so quick. I'm not sure that the grandioseness of it always works. It has an earnestness and a slow burn narrative to it that the first one didn't. And then sort of decides that, you know, what are we doing this for? Let's just abandon this and let's just get down to the action. And it becomes more and more about the set pieces as the film goes on. But in terms of those set pieces, and for people who've become increasingly sort of frustrated with, I guess, martial arts films coming out of Hollywood that haven't had that incredible energy and that sort of kinetic.
So it is old fashioned in that way, isn't it? It is like a Bruce Lee or an old Jackie Chan. And is there many digital effects? Can you tell?
Not too many. You know, the sets are grander. It has a far more visual polish.
Yep.
And some of those set pieces are remarkable. There's a chase sequence that happens. So it's a car chase, and you have him trying to fight off the four other people inside the car while trying to get into the car that's pursuing him behind. And you have all these sort of motorcycles and other vehicles that keep, you know, intervening on this sort of Jakarta highway freeway, and it's really remarkable. I mean, it's as good, if not better, than anything that's come out of Hollywood, despite not having nowhere near the budget of those big Hollywood blockbusters. But the thing I really need to reiterate, this is an incredibly violent film. Yeah, so if you're squeamish and you have a low tolerance for violence,
don't see it.
Yeah, this is not the Blue Rinse Brigade. You might not want to delve into this. Although I should say I saw Nymphomaniac yesterday and half the audience were at least over 65.
Oh, hey, why not?
And most of them stayed despite lots of...
Is it any good? We'll get onto that another time.
Maybe we'll talk about that another time.
Okay. Peter Malone, the Catholic priest who's a film reviewer, his review of Nymphomania is up there. I think he actually thought it was quite interesting. But let's talk Let's talk sequels, by the way. Raid 2, wide release or not?
It has.
It is wide release.
It's hitting the mainstream cinemas as well on the back of that, the success of the first film.
Your texts on sequels, Terminator 2, best sequel ever. Greatest movie of all time, Peter and Sandringham. That is a dangerous phrase to use, but it's yours to use as you wish. Aliens, great sequel, equal to its predecessor, says Kia from a cafe in Balaclava. And most obscure text, I'm enjoying this one, it's from Chris in Northcote, because I haven't heard of this, so it's obscure in my eyes. Barbarian Invasions, a Canadian film directed by Denis Yacquin. That's Jesus of Montreal director.
It is, yep.
A beautiful film that most of us who saw it in 2004 probably didn't realize it was a sequel. Its predecessor, 17 years earlier, was The Decline of the American Empire. Both outstanding films. Barbarians is a great sequel. Have you seen them?
Yeah, it's a French-Canadian film. Really remarkable. Yep.
Okay. And quite a few of you nominating Toy Story 2. Sir Edward was saying it backed up extremely well. There's a lot of sirs and dames around. Yeah, I don't know that was quite the intention of the government's announcement, but still. Shane's called from Hampton. Hi, Shane.
Hi, Raph. How are you?
Okay. Drum roll. Your best sequel is?
Godfather Part 2.
You win the Bataki Ham, my friend. Why?
Well, it was a hard act to follow, the first one.
Yes.
And I just liked the fact that it went back into history and we saw how young Vito came out as a youngster from Europe.
Yep.
And it just struck a bit of a chord with me because my mother came out at a similar age.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And two of the best actors in living memory on one screen. Not on one screen.
Yeah.
Shane, thank you. I reckon that's up there. I think it is deliberately up there. I think we might have a little bit of Godfather 2, actually.
I'm your older brother, Mike, and I was stepped over.
That's the way Puck wanted it.
But it ain't the way I wanted it. I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. But dumb, I'm smart, and I want respect.
Poor Fredo. What's the actor's name? I can't remember his name.
John Cazale?
John Cazale, is that his name? I think that's it. Oh, look, you know, I think that and... can I count The Good, the Bad and the Ugly as a sequel? As the end of a sort of a spaghetti western trilogy?
Yeah, I think it's... Yeah, you know, there's a thematic link there.
Yeah, I think so. I reckon actually The Good, the Bad and the Ugly is the best sequel ever made. In terms of dramatically improving on the original.
The first two are pretty good as well.
Yeah, the first two are very good. But that would be my nomination. Your nomination for best sequel ever?
Oh, look, I would have said Aliens because it's one of those childhood flashbacks that I just love.
Okay, Aliens. Now, quite a few people texting in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade as a good sequel, and I've got to say, I'm not with you. I'm accepting the vote, and you're willing to have your say, hey, because under the new race discrimination laws, everyone could say what they like. But you know what? I'm not buying Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. But someone whose phone number ends in 74, I'm going to write it down because you have texted in Bad Boy Bubby 2, Bubby Bites Back. Bubby Bites Back.
Rolf Dahir, get on to it. Maybe that is Rolf Dahir. Maybe he's trying to drum up some
funding.
Maybe
it is. Maybe it is. Look, your best sequels, keep them coming with your suggestions. 1300-222-774. I do want to know. I've got to write down the phone number because I've got to find out if it is the same person who always texts in about Bad Boy Bubby or have we created something really evil. I'm not really sure. The next one we're going to talk about, it is called Blackfish. I won't tell you what it is. Let's just play the trailer.
Orange County Sheriff's Office.
We need SO to respond for a dead person at SeaWorld. A whale has eaten one of the trainers.
Tillicombo is the one that went after her.
Don is the senior trainer here at Shamu Stadium.
She captured what it means to be a SeaWorld trainer, that it made me realize what happened to her really could have happened to anyone.
I've been expecting somebody to be killed by Tillicum.
We weren't told much about it, other than it was trainer error.
It didn't just happen. It's not a singular event. You have to go back to understand this.
The speedboats herded them in, and they could just pick out the young ones.
This is the worst thing that I've ever done.
Okay, so I do know a bit about it. See if I'm summing it up rightly or wrongly, Josh. Killer whales, killing people, and then what happens?
Well, in SeaWorld SeaWorld passing on the orcas from park to park and covering up basically what the history of the whales is. This is not so much a documentary about the morality or the ethics, even though it's in the background of should whales be kept in captivity and should they be treated in this way? It's more about examining the ethics of SeaWorld as a corporation and how you create a business and a market and a demand for these types of or this type of entertainment and what are the follow-on consequences.
So what happens? The killer whales kill people because for whatever, the way they're required to perform, and then they kind of just pass the killer whale on to the next park and don't tell anyone that that's happened?
That's what happened. Well, it uses an event that happened, the death of a trainer in 2010 at a SeaWorld called Dawn Branshaw, and it uses this event, which you heard some of the 911 audio there, and it uses this as the sort of the epicenter of the documentary to go back and say, well, where had this whale been previously, and did this whale have a history of attacking trainers, and perhaps why? And one of the issues that comes out is the idea of captivity being sort of, you know, what they call sort of psychosis, basically. Mm. And then looking at the broader consequences in terms of other parks in SeaWorld has kind of branches around the globe. But the thing I found really fascinating about this documentary was the way it treated the trainers. And there's interviews with a number of SeaWorld trainers, and their perception, and I guess their moral dilemma is they got into this business, a lot of them just because they loved animals and weren't actually trained in marine biology or anything. And they didn't want to leave, even though they could see that things weren't as they'd been told. And they'd been given this party line from SeaWorld, and they started to kind of question it. And, you know, I think that SeaWorld's come out quite strongly in against this documentary.
Indeed, surprise. Yeah.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. Which I think you could, if it was just the one or two disgruntled trainers, you could say, well, maybe they got the axe and maybe...
Yeah.
But when the numbers, when the trainers keep appearing in different ones, some of whom were up until recently employed, some of whom have left quite, you know, around the time of some of the recent killing, you start to kind of question the ethics. This is a really engaging, polished documentary that raises a number of issues, but has this kind of core idea about the business of marine entertainment.
Yeah, right.
I watched this back-to-back, probably quite foolishly, with another documentary called The Cove, which came out about 4 years ago, which was about the slaughter of the Taiji dolphins
in Japan, yeah,
which is still going on. And interesting, one of the themes that runs between these two documentaries is, again, comes back to corporations like SeaWorld creating a market for this that has a market for obviously dolphin meat, but part of the catch in Taiji is catching dolphins for these marine parks. So looking at the business of it and also on the human level, and of course, you know, also just in terms of, again, the ethics of the animals and how they're treated. And, you know, the one thing that was quite fascinating that this documentary goes into, Blackfish, is about the brain activity within orcas, within killer whales, is very similar in terms of the brain centers of empathy.
Yeah, right.
They can sense empathy, and particularly when you have Shamu, a baby whale that's born and then 2 years later is removed and sent to a different park, and then the mother starts acting up and, you know, obviously raising questions as to, I wonder why this is happening. But yeah, really, really powerful documentary. This was nominated at the recent Academy Awards.
Okay.
It lost out to that 50 Feet from Stardom or whatever, but
okay. That's about the backup singers.
Yeah, well, it was never going to win against active killing and was the other, the gatekeepers.
Oh, that's right.
So, you know, take your pick.
So Blackfish is cinema or DVD?
So it's just received a local DVD release through Madman Entertainment.
So okay. So Blackfish is the name. Crocodile Dundee 2. Ooh, deep breath. Fulfilled the need for a sequel, maintained some integrity in terms of the franchise, combined New York and Australian outback, and delivered good amounts of larrikinism and cheese. And best sequel contenders, Bourne Trilogy. Yeah, not me and Nigel. Okay, Nigel, I'll give you that. And Back to the Future 2. Okay. I'll get to more of your calls. 1300-222-774. I'd love to know your thoughts on best sequels ever.
774 ABC Melbourne. You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
A quick rattle through your texts of best sequels. Caddyshack 2, Rocky 2, ouch, Clarks 2 from Sean and Colac. Oh, I'm not so sure. Godfather Part 2, Empire Strikes Back, Porky's 2. Wow.
We did say best, didn't
we? Well, you know, the taste is individual. Lethal Weapon, there you go. And the greatest trilogy of all time, as well as the best sequel, is Toy Story. Simply perfect. Josh, is there a principle that all good sequels have to obey?
Well, most sequels tend to rehash the first, the working formula of the first one. I think the best ones actually try and do something a little different, which is why I think franchises like The Aliens are so interesting, because each director most of the auteurs too come in and give a very distinct vision with those kind of central characters.
Pretty hard to beat Ridley Scott and James Cameron, I presume.
Well, David Fincher as well was pretty. I think it's a bit underrated, Alien 3, actually. It's worth a rewatch. But The Raid 2, just to bring everything back full circle,
yes.
I think it works for me because it didn't just go, let's find another building and have another raid.
Yeah,
it actually does something quite different.
Okay. Best sequel never made, Titanic 2, Rose's Story. That's from Anne. Timbuk 2. A lot of people nominating Police Academy 2. I'm sorry, I just don't recall it. And Highlander 2. Oh, sorry, you said best sequel. That's from Greg in Ballarat.
No.
Don't get me started. It was dreadful. Dreadful. Greg, I'm going to have nightmares all over again. Josh, thanks so much for coming in.
Pleasure.
Josh Nelson, you can check out his blog at filmology.com. It starts with a PH.